Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry that's here to encourage and inspire you every day. And today, we're continuing our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Rick Warren shares practical ways to help you take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from ordinary to extraordinary. And this is a series you don't want to miss. And now here's Rick with part one of a message called Becoming Best Friends with God.
Now, what kind of relationship does God really want with you? You ever thought about this? What kind of relationship does God really want? Your relationship to God has many aspects. God is your Father. He is your Creator. He is your Maker. He's your Judge. He's your Master. He's your Lord. He's your Redeemer. He's your Savior. And He's many, many other things. But most shocking of all is this. God wants you for a friend. Whoa. God wants me for a friend. Yes, He does. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw close to God, and He'll draw close to you. It's just pretty simple. You draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. Now, when we want to know what God's relationship is like, we need to go back to the very beginning of time and look at the original ideal relationship in Eden. Because when God created Adam and Eve, they enjoyed this incredibly close, intimate friendship with God. There was no religion. There were no rituals. There were no rules, except don't eat of that one tree. That was the only rule. He said, you can do anything else, just one rule. No regulations. No all of the rigmarole that you find in so many religious things today. It was just a friendship. And the Bible says that Adam and Eve delighted in God, and He delighted in them. That's the way God wants to have the relationship with you. It was just a simple, loving relationship. And they were made to live in God's presence continually, and you were made to live in God's presence continually. But that ideal got ruined by sin. Sin broke the friendship. Sin broke the relationship. Sin broke the fellowship. And the friendship with God was lost. And when you go through this book, the Bible, and the Old Testament is about two-thirds before we get to Jesus. In the Old Testament, there are not many people called friends of God. Not many at all. In fact, in the Old Testament, only a very few people had the privilege of being a friend of God. Abraham was one. He was called the friend of God. Moses was a friend of God. David was a friend of God. The Bible says Enoch was a friend of God. But there weren't a whole lot of these people. Job was a friend of God. But most people did not have a personal friendship with God in the Old Testament. In fact, most of the time, guilt and fear was more common in relationship to God than was love and friendship. In fact, in the Old Testament priest had to prepare weeks and weeks and sometimes months to get ready to go into God's presence. It wasn't just something you could do any day, anytime you wanted. But then Jesus changed the situation. Oh man, radically. And when He died on the cross and paid for our sins, the Bible says that the veil between the Holy of Holies and the outer court, the holy place, was ripped from the top to the bottom, symbolizing that the separation between God and man that had been going on for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years was no longer there. That Jesus had built the new bridge. And now there was no separation between us and God. And everybody had access. It wasn't one priest one day of the year got to go in and feel God's presence in the Holy of Holies. Now anybody could have God's presence in their life all the time. And direct access was once again available. You didn't need a priest. You didn't need anybody else. You could go directly to God. The Bible says it like this. There on your outline, Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. We were restored to friendship. Circle that. We were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son while we were still his enemies. So we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Notice this is a new relationship. They didn't have this in the Old Testament. They didn't get to do what you get to do. All because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us, circle this, friends of God. All because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. You can't buy friendship with God. You can't earn friendship with God. You can't be good enough to have friendship with God. You can't bribe God or bargain with God or berate God. You can't do anything to have a friendship with God except this. Receive God's gift, which was paid for by Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of your sins. The restoration of a relationship. It's God's grace and Jesus' sacrifice. And Jesus says this in John 15:15. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friends. Do you realize how radical that is for the God of the universe to say, I want you for my friend? Let that sink in for a minute. The God who created the entire galaxy saying, I want you for my friend. Now this word here where Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you my friends. That word in the Greek is not just a casual acquaintance word. It means a deep, close, personal, intimate comrade. It's the word used for a best man at a wedding. Your best man, the guy you depend on the most. It's the same word used to refer to the king's inner circle. Where the king has lots of acquaintances and thousands, maybe millions of subjects. But he's got a few close friends. And these are intimate, trusted friends. Now, in a royal court, if you walk into a royal court, you're going to go see a queen or king, something like that, you have to keep your distance. You don't get to just walk up to any king or queen and just talk to them. You have to keep a certain number of feet back. You have to bow. You have to do protocol, etiquette, and all these kind of things. I've actually met a few kings and queens in my life. And it's pretty formal. Because that's how most people react. But if you are in the inner circle, you're one of the king's friends. You enjoy close contact, direct access, and confidential information. Some of you remember the old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Well, actually, God invites you not just to be the friend of Jesus, but of the Holy Spirit and the Father. He invites you to be a friend of the Trinity. Now, how important is this to God? That you actually become a friend of God. How important is it? It's extremely important. Let me show you a couple of verses. Exodus 34:14. He is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. Did you know that God gets jealous? The Bible says God gets jealous when we give our lives to other things, when we put other gods in our lives, the god of money, the god of sex, the god of success, the god of popularity, the god of pleasure. It could be any god. He said that breaks God's heart because God is passionate about his relationship with you. Hosea 6:6, God says this, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Can you hear the passion in that verse? Again, this is hard to grasp. Circle the word love and circle the word know. Those are the two first purposes of your life, to know and love God. If you miss that, you miss the number one purpose in your life because God did not put you on this planet to just do stuff. To just mark things off your to-do list. God puts you on this planet to know and love him, to have a relationship with him. And if you miss that relationship, you miss that friendship, you miss the very purpose for which you were created. Nothing is more important than that. You can be the most famous, most successful, most accomplished person on the planet. And if you don't know and love God, you miss the purpose of your life because you weren't made simply to do things. God says, I want you to know me and I want you to love me. And the Bible says that God planned the entire universe. And then he orchestrated all of history, including your personal life history. And he orchestrated it all so that you could come to know him and that we could become his friends. The Bible says it like this in Acts 17. Starting from scratch, God made the entire human race. And he made the earth hospitable. What it means? It means we can live on it. He made the earth livable. We got oxygen. We got water. We got it light. We got everything we need. He made the earth hospitable for human beings with plenty of time and space for living. Why? Look, so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. Wow. That is God's number one plan and purpose for your life. Now, how in the world is this possible? I mean, we're visible, God's invisible. We're weak, God's omnipotent. We're imperfect, he's perfect. How does a flawed, finite creature have a friendship with an unflawed, perfect, omnipotent, invisible God? How does that happen? Well, there's only one way, through Jesus. Maybe you've known about God all your life. How do you build that friendship? Number one, write this down. Make knowing God my number one priority. You're never gonna become a friend of God in your spare time. You make knowing God your number one priority, my number one priority in life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Do it first. You know, I've told you this many times. I do this every single morning of my life. I've done it for years. I get up and I sit on the side of the bed. And before I get out of bed, I'll just sit there for a split second and I'll say, God, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to love you more and know you better. Because if at the end of the day, I know God more and I love him better, that day was a success. Doesn't matter how many things go wrong in it. If I know God a little bit better and I love him a little bit more, then that day was a success. On the other hand, it doesn't matter how many things I accomplish or what happens in my life that seems to be good, how many windfalls that come into my life, doesn't matter. If at the end of the day, I don't know God a little bit better and love him a little bit more, I miss the purpose of that day. I make it the number one priority of my life. Paul says it like this, everything else is worthless compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus. I've discarded everything else. I count it all as garbage so that I may know Christ. I make it my number one priority. Jeremiah 29:13, God says, you will find me. When? You will find me when you seek me. When? With all your heart. Are you doing that? Let me just ask you, one-on-one, are you doing that? Are you seeking God with all your heart every day? Not likely. You're gonna become a friend of God when you wanna become a friend of God. Write this down. I'm as close to God as I choose to be. You can't blame anybody else. You can't blame your wife, your husband, your parents, your kids. You can't blame him. You are as close to God as you want to be. And if you feel far from God, guess who moved? You didn't make it the number one priority of your life. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Knowing and loving God is our greatest privilege, and being known and being loved by God is our greatest pleasure. You know, I've noticed, I was even noticing it on this trip that I was on in Europe, that you can tell what's important to somebody by what they brag about. That'll tell you their values. And so, you know, if their kids are most important, they brag about their kids. If their job is the most important thing in their life, they brag about their job. If travel and having experiences is important, that's what they talk about. You brag about what you value most. If partying or buying new clothes is what you talk about most, guess what you value most? Partying and getting new clothes. Here's what God says, Jeremiah 9. Look up here on the screen. God says, the wise must not brag about their wisdom, and the strong must not brag about their strength, and the rich must not brag about their money. But if somebody wants to brag, let him brag that he really understands and knows me. Why? Because that's what life is all about. Have you ever bragged by the fact that you're a friend of God? Hey, me and God, we're like this. You know, we're close. We're buds. We're friends. Knowing God is what matters most, and there's nothing more important than that relationship in your life. Now, how do you know when God is not your best friend? How do you know when you don't really know God? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 6 that the secret or the symbol or the characteristic, the concluding mark of a person who doesn't know God, Jesus said in Matthew 6 is this: worry. When you worry, it means you don't know God at that moment. You've forgotten who he is, what he said, what he's promised to do in your life. You're acting like you're an atheist. You're acting like there is no God. You're acting like it all depends on you. Every time you're worrying, every time you worry, you're saying, oh, I don't really know God at this moment. He's not my friend. I have to make it my number one priority. Number two, second key to building a deep relationship with God, slow down and shut up. Or let me say it nicer. Slow down and be quiet. Okay? Slow down and be quiet. Our friendship with God is like any other friendship. You have to make time for it. If you don't make time for your human friends, they're not your friends. You make time for your friends. And if God is going to be your best friend, you've got to give your best time to God. The Bible says this. You've seen these verses many times. Psalm 46:10. Be still. That means just slow down. And know that I am God. You need to have a daily quiet time with God. Be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 25:14. Friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who reverence him. With them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. See, most people don't know about God, and they don't know why, how God acts. They don't know why he does what he does, and they don't know what's going on in the world. Why? Because friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. You sit down, you slow down, you be quiet, and you spend time with God. What would a friend be if you never spend any time with him? Not a friend. You will never have God as your best friend if all you do is just come to church services. You've got to just be quiet, be still, and you get out and you sit down and you just read God's word and you listen and say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? And you don't have to use any fancy phrases, these and thous, or who arts and where arts and King James language. No, you just talk to God authentically. The Bible says it like this, Matthew 6, 5 and 6. When you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production. I love this, the Message paraphrase. Just find a quiet, secluded place where you won't be tempted to role play before God. And just be there as simply and as honest as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God. That'll lower your stress. And you will begin to sense his grace. Make knowing God my number one priority, and then slow down and be quiet. Number three, key to a friendship with God. Decide whose friendship you want most. You don't have time for everybody to be your friend. And if everybody else is going to be your friend, you're not going to have time for God in your life. You've got to decide who you want most to be your best friend. Let me show you a verse on the screen. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this. Some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. They know all the baseball scores. They know the stock market quotes. They know the top 10 songs. They know how to do a recipe. They know all kinds of other, they know who's in and who's out in every soap opera. They know who's up and who's down in the celebrity charts and TMZ, but they don't know God. They've missed the most important thing in life. How in the world could anybody miss a fellowship and a relationship with God when he says, this is what I made you for and this is what I want. How in the world do you miss it? Real simple. Care about something else more. That's why you're not a friend of God. You care about something else more. And you're missing of the relationship that you were designed for with your Creator. Now, the Bible gets very specific. Look at this, James chapter 4. You should know that loving the world is the same thing as hating God. What's that mean? Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, I don't understand this. It tells me here that I'm not supposed to love the world, and yet in John 3:16, the most famous verse, it says, God so loved the what? So which one is it? Okay, am I supposed to love the world or not love the world? God so loved the world, but it tells me here that if I love the world, I become the enemy of God. It's the meaning of the word world. In John 3:16, he's talking about the people in the world. And in this passage, and in 1 John 2:16, he's talking about the value system of the world. Now, God says, I want you to love the people and hate the value system. You know what the problem is? We do the exact opposite. We love the value system and we hate the people. We love materialism, we love pleasure, we love popularity, we love prestige, we love passion, possessions, position. We love all the values of the world and we hate the people. God says, no, you got it all backwards. And he says that if you want to be my friend, friends value what friends value. If you're going to be my friend, if I'm going to be your friend, then I have to value what's valuable to you. What's important to you becomes important to me. Why? Because you're my friend, because I'm your friend. And if you're going to be a friend of God, then you've got to care about what God cares about and not care about what God doesn't care about. God doesn't care anything about image. He doesn't care about anything about how you appear, your image. He's not interested in your reputation. He's interested in your character. Not how you look, but what you are. And I have to choose to value what God values.
Thanks so much, Rick. What a great message today. Hey, if you've been listening to the broadcast for a while, well, you know that Rick is always saying that God wants your relationships to be more than just fair, average, good, or even great. He wants your relationships to be awesome, life-giving, filled with joy and purpose. And that's why he created the Awesome Relationships Bible Study. Through this 4-session video-based Bible study with workbook, you'll discover the tools you need to build an awesome marriage and family, awesome friendships, and most importantly, an awesome relationship with God. This resource is perfect for individual or group study. Be sure to request Pastor Rick's Awesome Relationships video-based Bible study when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world. It's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.